Well, let's see. Yeah, I think I hear the music playing, and that means it's time for another Radio Fishing with Fish and Frank and our guest stars today. I'm going to let everybody introduce themselves so that you can think we're going to do cobia today. Yes, indeed, cobia. I always want to kind of like, you know, yes, indeed, you know, when I hear that music, it kind of makes me want to, you know, get into that whole boom-ba-dee-da thing. I don't know what the heck's going on. So, anyway. Uh-oh. It went away, but it didn't go away. Okay, so, Brandon, why don't you introduce yourself and your lovely companion?
Well, I'm here with my girlfriend, Elena, and my name is Brandon Murphy.
Oh, and the crowd loves you guys. The studio audience just goes crazy with that. Oh, my goodness. Come on, settle down. Settle down, yes. Okay, all right, go ahead. One more time. I think the crowd overrode you here.
Well, my name is Brandon Murphy, and the past few days I've been fishing.
Okay, introduce her one more time.
My girlfriend is named Elena.
Okay, Elena.
Yes.
We got it out of you.
Yep.
We got it out of you. It's funny. Now, I would have suspected her was the one who didn't want to, you know, be broadcasting it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't change just because I get on the radio. I get worse. So, this is Radio Fishing, and you've been out cobia fishing. Well, come up to the mic and say hi, Elena.
Hi.
There you go. Okay. Have you been cobia fishing with him lately?
Just last night.
You went out last night, and how long were you guys out last night?
Oh, God, like 4 hours?
Probably 3 hours. Yeah. We went out around 11 o'clock last night on the 41 bridge on the northbound side near the no-wake zone. And
now, the southbound lane, northbound end, right?
Correct, towards the mini golf course.
Yeah, that would be the southbound lanes.
Yeah.
Going from Port Charlotte to Punta Gorda, and you go
correct.
Up about a third of the way, half of the way to the top?
One-fourth mile is exactly where the mile marker is. It says right on the left side of the bridge, and it's just before that. And
where that big manatee sign is.
Correct. Yep. And that's where I've been fishing, and I've been doing real well lately.
I can tell you one of the reasons that's a good spot, when that sign was put there, it was put just inside of the drop-off. And it goes out about 3-4 feet from land and maybe get 5 feet. And then just past that sign, it just drops off, and it goes to about 8-10 foot. And there's kind of a ledge there, and those fish like running that ledge, and that's what makes that area that, and the extra pilings from the sign kind of accumulate bait and all this other kind of stuff. So it's actually really good spot. It's been good for years.
Yeah, that's what I noticed. Was I was fishing that area, and I started throwing behind the sign about 15-20 feet, and my bait was sinking a little bit slower, which made me think that it was deeper water and there might have been a trough there. And I've just been using whiting with...
Okay, well, let's start back from the beginning. You've been doing pretty good. You've caught some really nice cobia lately. Some of your first cobia that you've caught, right?
Yep, I got my first cobia last, I think it was Thursday. And he was 33 inches. And then I got one right after that that was 36 and was very good fish.
Yeah, you guys, did you let him go or did you eat him?
Yes, we let him go.
Well, that's good. Yeah, everybody's now, Carl and Kale and Dave from Luigi's, everybody's been up by the bridge cobia fishing lately.
Yeah.
It's been a really good time.
And it's been a lot of fun for sure.
So, what do you do to get ready? What do you take with you to get ready to go?
What I'd normally take would be a heavy-duty rod, like a spinning reel, 5,000, 6,000. Bait runner would be ideal. If you don't have a bait runner, you could just loosen your drag and have it that way and just wait for the run. What I'm using is just more or less a bait teaser that's a conventional reel that has a 40 wide.
And you're using a clicker on it.
Correct. I'm using the clicker.
All right, but you also take some light tackle with you.
Yes, I do.
Now, if you're going up there to go fishing, what bait do you take with you? What do you do?
What I've been taking with me is my light tackle rods, just a weight and a sinker on it, trying to catch some whiting with some shrimp, small piece of shrimp tipping the hook and dropping it down and trying to catch whiting as bait for the big rods. And
so what's fun about this, you actually get to go out and you come in and you get a bag of frozen shrimp, some small hooks, and get your big stuff rigged up, but you're going out and you start by catching your bait.
Yes.
And once you've caught the bait, now are you putting on live or are you putting it on in pieces?
I've done both, but I've done the best off the cut bait, and I've been using the tail half, not the head half. I've been getting sharks on the head half, and on the tail half, I've been getting the cobia, and it's about 5 to 6 inches of the bait, and I've been hooking it up towards the where
you can
I'm
hick it up if you want. That's okay. you hick it, hook it. We get it. You know, yeah. It's okay. So anyway. Now, you're putting what size hook are you using on the chunks of whiting?
I'm using the Mustad J hooks, and they're size 8, and you have them in the shop.
8-0.
Yep, they've been working absolutely wonderful. The circle hooks, I'm not getting the Kobe, I'm losing them because they're running with it, and by the time I'm at the clicker and I'm setting it, I'm not able to strike the fish, and I got to wait till he takes it. So if he drops it, I can't do nothing about it.
Right. Yeah, circle hooks are cool, but they're not the answer. They're one of the answers. They're good for certain things, but not good for everything.
Yeah.
Now, so you head up on the bridge, you put your pieces of shrimp down, you catch some whiting, cut tail off, and you put that on the big rod. Now, are you freelining using sinkers, floats? What's the deal here?
I have tried a little of everything, and my best has been using about a 3 to 2 ounce, depending on how the tide is. If it's ripping in, then I'm using a 3 ounce to keep the bait down. And if it's ripping out, I will still use a 2 because it's when it's going out, I can keep it down because the tide's going out. And when it's going
well, it's a big chunk of bait. It's a lot of resistance for the water, so you have to have enough lead. It's not about trying to get it to the bottom because you're only fishing, 3 to 10 feet of water. So everything will go to the bottom unless there's a current. And what you're trying to do is just hold place, keep the bait where it is, keep it down in the water, because when that water starts ripping through there, it'll lift your bait right up to the surface if you're not careful.
Yeah. That's the big thing, is keeping it down. And once you keep it down, we're getting hits. And last night I think I had 4 runs, probably 2 from
Cobia. Yeah, everything just falls apart in here. You'll get used to it,
Yeah. And I think I had 2 runs from Cobia, but I had the circle hooks on, and by the time I switched over, it was 1 o'clock in the morning, and I put the J hook on, and I didn't get a bite after that, and so we packed it up and went home.
So, Elena, now, what do you think of Cobia fishing?
I think it's fun. I mean, yesterday was the only day I ever did it.
So, your first time up there, and what's it like when the rods go off?
It's cool. It's a rush.
It's amazing how excited you get, isn't it?
Yeah, you should have seen him running across the bridge for his rods.
That's the best part. It's going off, and you're screaming across there running.
Oh,
and
yeah.
All of a sudden, then you pick it up, and it's like, missed it.
Yep.
Now, were they taking the bait, or did you get bait left?
Sometimes I'll get the bait left, but how I can tell the difference of a shark or a cobia is when the bait's chunks are missing of it, it's the sharks, or there's teeth marks, the gar will get teeth marks in them. But when the bait's crushed, it's more or less a cobia because he picks it up, puts it in his mouth, and starts running with it.
Right, he's going to kind of crush it, smash it more.
Yeah.
The sharks will take chunks out of it. You'll see the pieces missing, and the gar you can tell because it's all kind of mangled up, but you can see it's kind of like it's somebody hit it with a bunch of needles.
Yeah. That's how I can tell the difference.
It just takes a little while to understand which fish do what to which type of bait. And after a while, it's kind of fun to be able to go, damn gar, But there's been some 4 or 5 foot gar caught up there.
Yeah, that we've surprisingly, when we're using the J hooks, we're actually hooking the gar more or less than them popping off when we're getting them to the bridge and them letting go, because normally they just hold the bait in their mouth and run with it, and all they have to do is open their mouth. But we're hooking them if we have the J hooks and we have to take them off. But we've caught quite a few big gar.
All right, now you're almost, I would say, close to 30 feet off the water up there. All right, you've hooked this big fish. Now what do you do?
Well, what we've been doing is, I don't like to snatch hook fish, so I have the bridge net that I got at Fish and Frank's, and that's what we've been using. And
no, wait a minute. At Fish and Frank's? Yes. Okay. And that? Yes. The crowd loves that. Okay. Yeah. All right.
But the bridge net's awesome. It's just a big circle that's a net, and it drops down in the water, and it's got a buoy, and it shows you where the net is underneath the water, and you just bring the fish right next to the buoy and, hand line the fish up.
So, because there's no way to reel a fish in up there unless it's a whiting, and then you can just kind of crank them up. But if you're talking fish that are weighing anywhere from 10 to 60 pounds, and there's no way to reel a fish up that high.
No.
What, and by using, okay, using a snatch hook or a gaff type rig, if you can't tell the difference between a 32 and a half inch cobia and a 33 inch cobia when you're 30, 40 feet up in the air.
No.
And so sticking all those treble hooks into them to, and then just dropping them over the side is not a great thing.
No.
With the bridge net, you can drop it down, you bring your fish over the top, you hand over hand them up with the rope, and then if you don't want them, you can release them with the net.
Yep, that's what we've been doing, and plus, we've been catching stingrays, too, that are 150 pounds, massive stingrays.
Wow.
And you cannot handline them whatsoever. You have one of them, I mean, you'd hate to cut the line and have them swim around with a hook and, you know, all that
a
stuff.
A hook and a leash, yeah, that's not right.
No, so we've been having to pull them up in the bridge net, and it's been holding up pretty good. I'm, even with the sharks and everything, we've just putting them in the bridge net and handlining them up, and it's a lot of fun up there.
Yeah, well, that's cool, but that's the way fishing is supposed to be, and the neat part about it is it doesn't take a boat, it doesn't take any special gear. If you go down to the bridge, you walk up there. But now, I will tell you, if you're one of those people that want to put out 15 rods, don't go to the bridge, because we're going to throw you off. You know, if you can't fish with one or two poles and be a real human being, don't go to the bridge. I mean, go to Sharky's, you know, that's where you belong, up there, you know. Because up on the bridge, if you've got all those rods, you're never going to get any fish anyway, and it's too much of a tangled mess, and it's a problem, and it just shows you're a jerk. And if we don't want you up there. Right now, most everybody fishing up there is very nice. They're tolerant with each other. Everybody, you know, because a lot of people walk that bridge.
Yes.
And you've got to be, you know, courteous to the people walking up and down, and it's a pathway. And if you don't want to get us kicked off of there, because they will put up the no fishing stuff if people go up there and start acting like idiots. I've seen more places close down because people cannot just, you know, live with other people. Somebody's walking by, move your stuff out of the way. Don't block the sidewalk. Keep your rods a minimum, 1-2 rods when you're fishing. You'll actually catch the fish, not just run around going, which rod is it? What is it doing? You know? So, anyway, don't go up there and act like a jerk, because you're going to get us all kicked off that bridge. And right now, the fishing's really good, and nobody wants to get kicked off.
No.
See,
for sure.
I told you, I'm just as big a jerk on the radio as I am in person. But the truth of the matter is, that's what it takes to keep fishing places. You know, people act like responsible, normal human beings.
Yeah.
And don't leave your garbage up there. You know, make sure it's cleaned up. If you're bringing fish up on top, don't make a mess on the sidewalk. You know, take a bucket and a rope and go down and clean it up a little bit. If the bridge turns into a mess, we're not going to be able to fish there anymore. So keep in mind, it's for everybody, not just you.
That's correct.
That's,
I mean, there's so many people that walk that bridge, especially during the day around 5 o'clock till 10 o'clock.
Oh.
If you're up there fishing, people will get mad at you. They'll walk by, and you know, you just got to always have your stuff out of the way. You see a stroller coming, you pull all your stuff up. Doesn't matter if your rod's going off. You're courteous to the people that are walking by. It's not about you.
No, it's about everybody. And I don't mean to sound like, you know, the bitchy one here, but people forget, and they get so involved in what they're doing, they don't realize they don't live alone on the planet.
Yeah.
And the one thing that makes everybody get along is to ease over a little bit when somebody's coming by. They'll ease over for you, you ease over for them, everybody's happy. But on a happier note, at least the fishing's really good. Now, Carl went out there yesterday, and they caught cobia. Kale was out last night. I'm pretty sure Kale caught some cobia there. He was in the T-top skiff last night.
I think I saw him further down up towards the middle.
Yeah, he would have. Yeah, he all bright lights. When he turned the lights on, the whole boat lights up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Luigi, Dave, Captain Kale, and Barb was with him last night.
He Sweet.
Took Barb out. So, anyway, but yeah, a lot of fun up there. It's a great, easy spot to go. There's plenty of parking right at the base of the bridge. When you leave Fishing Franks, go out, take a right, go south, right before the bridge, turn off on the right. You can just go up there and fish. And Brandon, he's been in the store quite a bit. Once he finishes, gets out of school, he's going to be coming in and taking a few shifts. And so it's all good. So anything else you want to talk about today? Any tips, tricks, anything you can think of? Now, we don't want to know your tips and tricks. No, look at that. She's turning red.
I haven't been catching many trout when I've been going out in the boat. The redfish are real thick up river right now. The only problem is they're not eating anything but blue crabs.
Really?
Yeah, I can't get them to eat shrimp. I mean, ladyfish, actually. The past few weeks, they've been eating the ladyfish, but if you're putting crabs in the deep pockets in the mangroves, they're eating those chunked crab, and they're just slurping it right down. And I mean, they're big redfish. They're not rats. They're, they're slotter bigger.
And, well, that's cool.
And that's another thing, and you can even, Elena's right here, and she can tell you she's been out on the boat, and she's caught them herself, and she got herself, I think, a 33-inch redfish about 3 weeks ago.
They can't hear you when you nod your head. You gotta, you know, that's Greg calling. Come on, turn off. Yes. Can you think of a better ringtone for Greg than the good, bad, and the ugly? It's just like, yeah, I get that. So anyway, I guess we're going to wrap up this radio fishing. And Elena and Brandon, thank you very much for being on the show. Any last thoughts? Anybody want to say hi to?
No, but thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Don't you live like south of here?
Cape Coral.
So say hi to your mom and dad. Say hi, everybody.
Hi.
There you go. Yes, I know, I'm that kind of guy. But anyway, this has been another edition of Radio Fishing, and I'm pretty sure, although I'm not sure, but anyway, yeah, I'm pretty sure that that music means we gotta go.
Okay. So,
alrighty, well, everyone have a good day, and keep some fish out there for me. Go get them.
Anybody you're gonna say hi to or hello to anyway?
My sister and my brother. Thank you for everything they do for me.
And your brother's a baseball player, isn't he?
My brother was a baseball player for 9 years, played in the pros, and now I think he's coaching, if I'm correct still. But
cool. Well, we'll have to talk about next time you're on. We're going to find out what your brother does here. Baseball player's kind of cool thing. So
yeah.
Anyway, this is Fish and Frank, Brandon in the chair across from me, and Elena making everything look pretty over there on the side. And we will see you on the next Radio Fishing. Thanks for listening, guys.